This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled this afternoon to be joined by Jay Rosehart. Jay is the president of Memorial Health System Ambulatory Services. He's going to talk to us today about what he's seeing in ambulatory services, some of his advice for leaders, and a little bit more. Jay, can you take a moment, Dan, to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Jay Rosehart. I'm the president of the Memorial Health System Ambulatory Group. I've been with Memorial for 10 years. Prior to this, I actually started here as a fellow, and prior to that, I was working down in St. Louis on my master's degree at St. Louis University and worked for a period of time with BJC Medical Group.
Well, fantastic. And you're someone that's been in healthcare, I think, a lot of your career or all of your career. How did you decide at some point that this was where you wanted to spend your career?
Yeah, I've been in healthcare all of my life. In fact, my first job was in healthcare as a phlebotomist at the hospital that I'm now president over the health systems ambulatory side. And I actually started that in my senior year of high school and did it all through college. And I got into healthcare. My family's in healthcare. My father's a physician. Both sisters are nurses. This is sort of something that's always been in our family, and we've always believed in serving others and helping to heal the sick and helping to keep people healthy and well.
Fantastic. And talk a little bit about Memorial Health System and a few points of pride at the health system there.
Absolutely. So Memorial Health System is a large integrated health system in central Illinois, serving the 10 counties around Springfield, Illinois. We serve over 500,000 individuals in those 10 counties, and then our expanded service area is upwards of 1.5 million. We've got five hospitals, home services, home hospice, durable medical equipment, behavioral health, physician clinic, specialty practices, primary care practices, population health engine, a number of other parts of our health system. One of the things I'm very proud of is we recently won the AHA's National Quality Award. That was the last couple of years. We've got a very, very strong focus on quality improvement using Lean Six Sigma tools. I'm also very proud that we continue to progress down the path of value-based care and transformation towards more risk-based contracting, population health contracting, and really the pay for value rather than the fee-for-service medicine.
Well, fantastic. And talk about, you're the president of Ambulatory Services, the Ambulatory Group. What has that looked like the last 6 months under COVID, and how is it rebounding now, or if it's rebounding? I mean, if it needed to rebound, talk a little bit about what that's looked like under COVID-19 and so forth.
Yes. So just like everybody across the country, this pandemic has been a major impact for our ambulatory services. When COVID originally hit back in the March timeframe, immediately that next month, our ambulatory clinics went down about 40% in visits. So we normally do 300,000 visits a year. We were dropped down 40%. We were lost about $100 million in that first month. And this is for a health system that's a $1.4 billion net revenue organization. So $100 million is a good chunk. I would say that, you know, we've done a lot to try and get back all of that business and prepare ourselves for the future. One thing that's been a silver lining of the COVID-19 pandemic is that it has forced us to innovate. It has forced us to change, and especially in a industry, healthcare as an industry that sometimes resists change and sometimes resists innovation in some of the business models and different ways in which you can actually practice medicine and practice the administrative sides of medicine. So we've done a lot to get all of that business back, including implementing things like a virtual waiting room, really ramping up our telehealth services. We worked with a partner to bring up a number of different respiratory clinics. We've done over 30,000 COVID-19 tests to try and keep our communities safe, including doing much of the contact tracing and much of the work around continuing to help identify and isolate those individuals who may be at risk. And I'm happy to say that over the last several weeks, we've been operating at 100% of our pre-COVID volumes in terms of our ambulatory clinics and our ambulatory areas. So it's really been a good journey for us to figure out how do we do this? How do we do this safely? How do we continue to innovate and change the way in which we do everything, not just deliver care through telehealth, but do the things like check a patient in, capture their insurance information. How do we innovate on the waiting room? Because you know that's something you don't really want in a pandemic, and frankly, you don't want any time. So how do you innovate and get rid of this idea of the waiting room? Those are all things that we've been working through again to try and keep people safe, get that volume back, and ensure that people get the care that they need.
You've got this great leadership career and growing tremendously in your role and at Memorial Health System. Talk for a moment about what advice you would give to young aspiring leaders in healthcare. And what would you do if you're mentoring them? What would you tell them? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would say there's a couple of hard pieces of advice that I would give. You know, many people in this question will say you want to be true to yourself and grow. And I think all of those things that you commonly hear are right. But I would also give some very hard advice around certain skills that are just an uncommon rarity that you need to be a leader these days in healthcare. And the first one is the ability to articulate change and articulate vision in a way that is easily understood and can be rallied behind. So much change is coming to healthcare, and unfortunately, so much change is needed in healthcare. And you have to have this ability to articulate that in a way that people understand, they get, they can connect to both intelligently as well as emotionally. That's what being a true visionary leader is about, in my opinion, and we're going to need visionary leaders to continue to solve the challenges that we have in an industry where our costs are out of control and the outcomes that we're getting for it are not up to par with the rest of the world.
Thank you. And I'm going to lead you to a different question. Both you and I share a university in common. We both went to the University of Illinois in Champaign. We both have a bias towards it. It's one of the great schools in the country. But talk a little bit about your experience there and anything you learned in college or experience you had in college that have been helpful to you as a professional.
Absolutely. So my undergraduate degree is actually in molecular and cellular biology. So I spent many years of my life in college learning the scientific process and learning how to apply the scientific process, learning how to run experiments, learning how to take data, turn it into information, and turn that information into action and results. And those are key pieces to being a leader that every individual needs to know if they're going into healthcare leadership and healthcare management. We've got a ton of data in healthcare. We collect a ton of information. But it's a rare art to be able to turn that information into actionable intel, to be able to take that, identify what the trends are, identify what the analytics are telling you, and really think critically about what those things are so that you can act on them and make improvements and make a case for the direction you need to go as an organization or the direction that you need to go as an individual. So those are some of the things that I learned at U of I that I wouldn't trade for the world. If it wasn't for that more scientific upbringing and background, I don't know that I would necessarily have the same level of skills that I have today in those areas.
It's a fascinating perspective. It really is. You know, it's so interesting and how much it's served you, that diligence and scientific background in a professional career that deals with people that are in the science and the STEM fields. Well, you run and manage and help provide leadership around a lot of those things. So fascinating perspective. Thank you. When you talk about priorities now, What are your top two or three priorities now? You've seen ambulatory revenues or visits come back up, but what do you look at as top two or three priorities in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, well, my opinion here is that no matter what happens with the pandemic, no matter when we get a vaccine, no matter when we're able to return to our normal lives, the long-lasting implications because of the social and financial changes that this pandemic has wrought are going to really impact what people want in healthcare, what the consumer wants in healthcare, and what they expect. So my priorities over the next 6 to 12 months are really transformative. We need to look at the changes that we forced ourselves to make during this pandemic and figure out how to build upon those. We don't want to simply turn the lights back on. We instead want to change how the light bulb's designed. We need to change how ambulatory care is designed. We need to change how care is delivered. And we need to think very, very differently. Everything from how do we make better use of technology to how do we engage patients better? How do we engage people better, especially as people are becoming more and more spread out? People are becoming more and more tied to their own technology. And they're being pulled in many different directions. So that idea of patient engagement and creating patient loyalty and building on a foundation of a relationship between the patient and their physician, their provider, is something that is ripe for disruption. And if we as an organization, as an industry of healthcare, don't disrupt ourselves, somebody's going to come up and do it for us. So I believe over the next 6 to 12 months, it's in our organization's best interest, it's in our industry's best interest to figure out how do we continue to change. And if we don't continue to change, we really risk being replaced.
Fascinating. I think that's right on. Jay, it's a pleasure to visit with you today. What a magnificent, evolving professional career. Continue to expect great things in your current role and what you're doing and growing and leading. And what a great system you're with. Pleasure to visit with you today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Just terrific, Jay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.